Reading is from Matthew chapter 5, and it's verse 6, and this can be found on page 968. And it is, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And then we move on to Romans chapter 9. And this can be found on page 1136, Romans chapter 9. And I'm going to read from verse 30 to the end. Continue in chapter 10, 1 to 4. So that's it. "What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel who pursued a law of righteousness has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, 'See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" Chapter 10. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God, and prayer to God for the Israelites, is that they may be saved. For I testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Amen.
Thank you, Hazel, for reading those verses for us. Yes, the battery's changed, so it must be working well today. One friend said to the another friend, "I feel a bit thirsty. I want to make a bet with you. And this is a bet. I ask myself a question, and if I answer that question, how about you get me a Coke?" And this person, he thought, "What? You ask yourself a question, and if you answer that question, then I should get you a Coke. What kind of bet is this?" And this person said, No. It goes like this. You can ask yourself a question, and if you answer it, I will get you a Coke." This goes on. We will continue with that until one of us find ourselves not answering our questions. And this man said, "I haven't heard like this bet ever before. Since you have proposed it, you begin." And this man said, "Okay, this is the question to myself. How does a rabbit burrow a hole deep into the ground without throwing the sand onto the outside?" And then the person said, "This is the answer to my question. Let us start burrowing from inside. And this man said, what? How does it do it? And this person said, I don't know. You ask the question and you need to answer that. Some people are very clever and they know how to make a trick and sounds it as at all very right. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I'm going to place those questions before ourselves this morning. The first question is, let us be honest, how many of us here will say that I wish to do only wrong things? I always intend to do wrong things. Thank God. And the second question is, I love to do right things. I always yield myself, try myself to do right things for the Lord. Oh, thank God. We all want to do right things. But what is right and what is wrong? Let me choose these two as my examples today. I haven't told you before. Kevin says, oh, you haven't said that. I'm using you as my example today. Yeah? Kevin says, gambling, I haven't finished it. He says, doing gambling and using the profit out of which to use for the good cause like supporting a charity or bringing offering to the church or whatever it is the right thing. Less pressure for you. Joshua says, earning money in the right way from the right source and using the profit, whatever it is, for the good cause is the right thing. Yeah. So the right and wrong varies between individuals. Where do we keep the difference between right and wrong? These right and wrong depends upon the people, depending upon their own conviction or their own consciousness. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he has defined the law of nature when he was talking about the right and wrong. He says, it looks, in fact, very much as if both parties had in mind some kind of law or rule of fair play or decent behavior or morality of the law of nature, whatever you look to call it, about which they really agreed. It is like, I am not angry with a man who trips me up by accident. I am angry with a man who tries to trick me up, even though if he doesn't succeed. So where do we keep the standards of right and wrong? In the Old Testament, there are lots of laws and regulations. People can always go to those commands or decrees, and for their every doing, they can go and check whether it is right or wrong. We might have read recently in our daily Bible reading connect that we read every day, I hope. Few days before, we might have read about how to keep ourselves from defiling, from physical defiling. A couple of days after, in the New Testament, we read about a lady who had physical issues for about 12 years. And she herself approached and touched the garment of Jesus. Where is the Old Testament principle? That lady, she has not only crossed over her Old Testament regulations or laws, but also she defiled other people whomsoever she touched on her way when she was reaching unto Lord Jesus. And especially by touching the garment of Jesus, did she defile Jesus according to Old Testament principle? But Jesus, she did not condemn her. In fact, she commended her faith. And he was saying to her, I find some power is releasing from me. Someone has touched my garment. And in faith, that lady was healed. So for us, the new covenant Christians, Jesus is the law. Jesus is the reference. Jesus is the indicator. And Jesus is everything for us. And we need to align ourselves to God through Jesus. We are so privileged people. We can always go and refer WWJD. Children, have you heard this word, WWJD? No? Young adults, have you heard about this WWJD? Do you want to hear what these young adults are going to say? WWJD, what is it? What would Jesus do? Yeah? So always, we can go and refer, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus response would be for this people? How would he see this issue? So we can always go and refer to him and respond to the community around us and to react ourselves. And we can say that, yes, Lord, I keep you as my example. I know the righteousness comes from you. I want to follow you because you are my everything. And that is called the righteous living. What Matthew has written in the Beatitudes that we are studying as a church together, we have come to this fourth Beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Coming to righteousness, in the Bible itself, there are three types of righteousness mentioned in different places: legal righteousness, communal righteousness, and personal righteousness. According to Paul, he was writing to Romans, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. He explains that we are reckoned righteous by God because of our faith in Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life on the cross to atone for our sins. So this legal righteousness is for the people, those who go, accept and believe Jesus Christ as their own personal savior. Now, when I look into our congregation, we have already accepted, most of us and all of us, I believe, Jesus as our personal savior. We are not the believer stage, we have moved into the disciple stage, following Jesus. So this legal righteousness have already accomplished in our life when we kept our faith in Jesus Christ and received unto him. What Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount was to the disciples. So I believe he might not have had this legal righteousness in mind when he was talking about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Was it communal righteousness? We can read in Amos, the prophet was saying to the community of people, you who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. And he was advising to the community, instead of doing that, let your justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. God cares for communal righteousness. He cares for the righteous government, righteous judgment in the court, righteous conduct in the business, righteous behavior in our families. But when we compare the previous three Beatitudes, if you remember those are all for our individual, personal, spiritual development. So, what Jesus was mentioning on the Sermon on the Mount about the Beatitudes, it is not about the communal righteousness. He was interested in our personal spiritual development. So it is left out now only with personal righteousness. It is nothing but our own conduct, our own doing things in a right way, not doing things in an unrighteous way. It involves choosing the choices in our life, how to live our life, daily life, how we are honoring God. It includes seeking for some opportunity, some situation, to avoid those situations where you know already that you will be trapped into temptation. Seeking to avoid such situations and standing for the truth. And it includes being unashamed of going and telling to anyone, everyone, that we are the followers of Christ. And it includes helping people, those who are in need and desperate. And this list goes on. But as a summary, anything and everything we do in our life, if we think about, if we have a meditation within ourselves for a quick moment, what would Jesus do in this situation? Because he lived a righteous life. No one can deny that. So when we say, what would Jesus do? And following that in our life, that is personal righteousness. We have the full book before us. We have the life lived before us. We have the beautiful example Jesus has left for us. And the disciples, apostles followed after that. We have the community around us, those who are having the discerning spirit. We can consult, we can discuss, we can pray about it. And God will reveal what should we do in this situation. How would we handle this situation? I want to ask you this question. Children, when was the last time, and adults as well, we felt hunger and thirsty in our lives? This morning, Earl? No breakfast? So when was the last time we heard that hunger and thirst in our life? I want to show you this video clip. It is about the World Hunger Day. That is, it's called one day, we are having it. May 28th of every year, people think about World Hunger Day. This is an excerpt from 2019. Mm-hmm. In this country, we have never, I hope, we have never experienced this hunger and thirst in our life. By the way, Jesus is not mentioning about this physical hunger and physical thirst in the righteousness, what he is saying. He is using that hunger and thirst as a metaphor, as an illustration, as an example to tell us we need to seek righteousness, to live in a right way with the earnest of that spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. Righteousness is not something like, let me grab it when it comes on my way. It is like seeking earnestly how to live that. It is seeking righteousness in desire. We sang the song, I desire to honor you, Lord. Seeking in desperate, Lord, unless you are there for me, I cannot do anything. Seeking in devotion. Seeking in desire, the first song we sang, what the psalmist has reflected about his own.
As the day longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you. I have wept the whole night in my bed. All my tears are for people asking me, where is your God? Lord, I am longing for you. That was the longing, thirst, and hunger the psalmist David had. It is like saying that, Lord, I know you are my ultimate. Lord, I know that in your presence I find peace. Lord, I find that compassion and your strength wherever I meet unto you. Lord, I need you more and more. I am desperate for you. I have the desire, like the deer, I'm longing to come and meet with you in every occasion, in every moment of my life. When we glorify God, when we uplift Him, when we worship Him, slowly you can see a transformation happening in our life, not only seeking Him in desire, and that transformation makes us to tell, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It must be like craving for food in hunger. In dry, hot summer season, when our lips get dry, we long for some water. When it wets our lips, we feel a great rejoice. Have you experienced that? One summer when we went to Italy for a family tour, and there you might have experienced, those who have ever gone to Italy, the water is a problem. How many of you have faced that? And there we finished our water bottle. We were really feeling thirsty, all four of us. We were searching for the shops. The shops were closed in the mid-lunch period, so we were trying everywhere. Almost our tongues first dried and then the throat, we feel almost tired. And when we were walking around the street, we found a small fountain at the middle of the street. And there was a water coming from the fountain. You can see in Rome everywhere, in the middle of the streets, there will be a fountain. And the water was coming out, very chilled, cold, and a blissful one for us. So we went there, we filled our water bottle, and we drank it. We felt water relief. Water quenching it was. That was, should be like in our life, thirsty, spiritual thirsty. Lord, I need you, Lord. Seeking in desperate, we need to ask God to give us the gift of hunger and thirst. Unless we have that gift, we won't be seeking Him. When we lead unto that desperate position, we will be tired. We cannot concentrate on anything else. We feel something like emptiness in ourselves, a vacancy. Nobody can fill in that. I have experienced that in my personal life before I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I had a good job, had a decent salary, and a very good family, and a very quiet and calm lifestyle. But I felt a vacuum in me. I felt something, emptiness in me. I had a desperate longing that nothing can fulfill that. I tried many ways. Can I read these books? Can I follow these philosophers? Can I go and search for that filling in my life? Nothing could satisfy that. So in desperate, when I was searching, I found the reason what could satisfy me only after finding Christ in my life. Seeking in desperate, the prodigal son, we all remember this parable. After he hit the bottom of the rock, he realized, he went into that desperate position. He thought that God, his father, would be the ultimate end that he could go. So he decided, let me run unto my father. Seeking in devotion, this righteousness is not living to show people around that I am a righteous one. It is not for us. All these beatitudes are for our inward spiritual development. Jesus says in Matthew 6, next chapter, in few weeks we may be reading this. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When we are seeking righteousness in desire and desperate, we need to always have in mind, we need to seek in devotion. Lord, all that I am doing as prayers, all what I am giving for the church, all what I am helping the poor and needy, it should not be seen by others. It is between you and me, Lord. And when we come to that point, we can be sure that we have attained, or at least in the ladder of righteousness towards God. Seeking righteousness in devotion. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you read that first phrase of this verse, it is an active phrase. We need to yield ourselves. We need to take some step to have that hunger and thirst to attain that righteousness. Can we attain by our own effort? For they are filled. This is passive. Someone else is doing for us. Who is that? Who can do that for us? Only Jesus Christ. We will be filled. He will fill us. He will satisfy us. And he says, we can see in Revelation chapter 7, it says that there will be no more tears, no more hunger, no more thirst. Jesus will be ruling on there, and he will be sitting on the throne. Before him there will be a fountain of water, a glassy sea before us. And when we go and drink unto that living water, we will be filled. We will be satisfied. Until then, we need to have that hunger. We need to have that thirst to live ourselves in a right way, in a personal righteousness, to seek him in desire, in desperate, and in devotion. Imagine, just imagine for a while, if every citizen in this world think about seeking God and living in a righteous way, like what Jesus has taught us 2,000 years ago, how would it be? There will be no more wars. There will be no more terrorisms. There will be no more gun shooting. There will be no more knife stabbing. And it will be like his kingdom come. His will be done. Amen.